Hey, it is Friday night, Friday evening, listen, October the 16th, and we're ready to, it kind of end the week. Is it another day in paradise? I'm not sure. Jesus talked about paradise to a man, a thief on a cross. His entire existence was going to change in one day. And I want you to know that that's what it's all about right here in 30 to 60 minutes. We can talk about God's supernatural providence and how this show can be supernatural even in your life by the hand of God, by the grace of God. Man dying on the cross, last hour of his life, Jesus was next to him. What hope did he have? Was he a nihilist, an existentialist, an atheist? Could he have asked Richard Dawkins, what is the hope? What is the reason? Well, instead, the privilege of being next to the Son of God on that cross, as prophesied, as foretold, when he recognized him as Lord, you know the rest of the story. Jesus' words, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. That is an incredible statement coming from God in human flesh, yet hanging on a cross, dying himself. The resurrection, just a few days away. But Jesus said, today. Now listen, I don't know what your day has been like, and for all of us, we face a day and an hour, an appointed time. And everything will change, out of temporal time, into eternity. Which side of the fence? Listen, this is Rustizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, ready to tell you about some of the urgent things, listen, that we need to be ready for. The Spirit of God said in the book of 1 John chapter 2, this is how we know it is the last hour. And my friends, it is the last hour. Because many antichristu, that is the idea of many who would be coming to replace and offer a spirituality that would be both alternative and counterfeit, only leading people further from God. And with all the spiritual deception and with all the spiritual counterfeits that we see today, the echoing of that verse should be just burning in our hearts and minds right now. This is how we know that it is the last hour. Listen, we're in the last few hours of Friday, October the 16th. And at the end of the day, some driving home, some at their offices, some listening to that computer there in your house, and maybe later on this week, some listening to an archive. We've been doing a series this week, four nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and today. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m., Tuesday night, 7 p.m. on the survivetothrive.net Steve Quayle Network. Tonight, and all of this week, we've been touching on the homosexual agenda, the activist agenda. You know, all kinds, millions of us have messed up sexually in our lives. We really have, we know that. But we're talking about the activist agenda to alter America. And if you are in America, or maybe, again, in Canada, other lands, other places, I'm going to tell you that the reason why the gay activists will be in many cultures, invading many areas of politics and lobbying and changing things, is because of the word propensity. Now, I'm going to give a definition right out of the dictionary here in a moment. But, and listen, if you're gay and if you're homosexual and lesbian and if you're, you know, an activist or if you're someone that's been hurt and wounded, well, really, I want to be able to say and have the freedom to say that whatever your choices are and your opinions are and your rhetoric might be, that we must have freedom of speech. And you don't have to listen, but I would ask you to. I would ask you to. Over the years, I've listened and listened and listened to gays and lesbians. as they told me about their life, told me about how they got into it, told me about their experience, and again, the majority wanting to get out. Some that were activists that screamed and yelled and did all kinds of other things. We talked about Monday night, the gay and lesbian activist agenda is seeking to alter biology and the very image of mankind. They're seeking, on Tuesday night we talked about, the altering of spirituality and literally changing God. We talked about Wednesday night, the genetics. Is it in the gene? Is it a genotype? Is it a phenotype? Is it there in the gene? Is there a gay gene? Is there a bisexual gene? Is there a transgender gene? Is there a bestiality gene? Is there a necrophilia gene? Let's take the discussion and open it wide and talk about all of it. And I will say, literally, as a pastor for 30 years in three or four separate churches, actually, that I would say that on the most part, the church hasn't brought out the great revelation of Scripture about God's creation of and blessing of human sexuality. On the side of both procreation and the idea of pleasure in the context of relationship, we haven't done a lot. Now I want you to know that right now we have a course that we've been teaching, we've taught locally, we got it up on the web. It's called Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. And let me just tell you something about the course, because, listen, we usually have to, that's the only thing we ever charge for. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, hundreds of free MP3 downloads, tons of stuff, but the courses, because we've got to be able to stay out here and on the lines, we've charged for, but during the series, we just said, hey, whatever donation you want, and if you have a hardship, write me an email and say, I want the course, there's no way I can pay, I'll gladly then send it to you. But it deals with an introduction to the course, it deals with sexual origins, it deals with the fall and exploitation of sex, it deals with the Nephilim, it deals with Old and New Testament revelation on pagan sexuality, on redemption. It deals with incubus and succubus. It deals with sexual temptation and freedom. It deals with lies, pain, purity, homosexuality, pornography, sexual abuse. It deals with occult sexual addiction and the future prophetic satanic use of satanic addiction. So that's just going to be out there. It's on the front page, www.shatterthedarkness.net. And listen, if you are somebody just simply cannot afford even $5, fine. I want you to have it. So just email me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. If you're able to do a donation towards it, great. You know our commitment is to not even ask. So, if you're listening all across, listen, United States, Canada, Australia, England, other places around the world, I believe that it's probably a divine appointment. And with all the other things that we deal with, economic collapses and the incredible shifting that is going on in politics, it all boils down, all this disintegration, all of this dismantling, all of this destabilization, continues to lead. It's like an avalanche that begins and it's picking up speed. And the crash of the great chaos, the great revolt, the great anarchy is coming prior to the rise of the New World Order, the rise of the Antichrist. And let me say this to a lot of those who are survivalists, and there are a lot out there that are into the conspiracy. Listen, coast to coast, worldwide, millions are absolutely interested in what's going on in the world around us. And many, even though there are those who are not believers in Christ, there are many that believe that an Antichrist is coming. They want to know about the end of days. But I want you to know something. The end of days and the Antichrist is all about Christ, his first coming and the second coming, and the peace and the kingdom of God and the end of evil and the end of death and the end of sin and the end of rape and the end of war and the end of lies and the end of pain. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the end, God will wipe away the tears. And I think it's vital for you to make sure you know which side of the fence you're on now. Because if you don't want God now, if you're shoving him off now, well, why? Because you can't have him later on the other side. There's no second chance. It's now. It's now. And even today, like the thief on the cross, I'm telling you that the grace of paradise, the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, the forgiveness of God can come rushing into your life when you look up to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. I have no difficulty in telling you that because God loves you, God knows who you are, and God knows where you are, and God, more than anybody else, wants you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can come to Christ even now. You can write to me, shatterxmail, sbcglobal.net. And if you've got comments and questions during the show, we can try to touch on those. We had a few the other day, and we had a few people write in. We're getting still to all of those write-ins. And we want you to know that right now, there is a great war that manifests itself in the area of the sexuality, in the area of morals, in the area of, this agenda. Because we've got a major problem here, folks. We've already talked about, and I want to say this again, because it's very possible that gay activists would record this and use it for whatever else, which is fine. I'd be willing to debate, I'd be willing to talk, I'd be willing to have an open format on this whole subject. You gotta be willing to let me speak and let me reason with you. Even God says, "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. Now listen, regardless of where you are right now, and if you say, well, listen, you're a believer and you're safe and you have no kids in school, then you're protected. No, listen. No believer in Christ is to live saving only themselves. How selfish is that? We're to be here as light into the world. We're to be here with the great mission of God in reaching the world. And until Christ comes, I'm going to still do all that I can to win the most possible, to build up the most possible in Christ, and to do all that I can to see evil crushed. Now, we talked about altering biology, altering spirituality, even altering the concept of genetics and the very, very makeup, which then lends itself to, if gay activists and lesbian activists get their way, to change the American Psychological Association, to change, you know, the entire mentality in politics, that it's a genetic thing, we were born this way, we cannot change. You've got to face the facts. Thousands and thousands of you have changed. Thousands and thousands of ex-homosexuals have left. Lesbians have left. And that's true about all the other areas. Because there is a message that proclaims a freedom and a power and a grace. Listen, and a restoration, you can read about this in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, a restoration of the image of God when we know Christ and are growing in the knowledge of God and in the power of God. That's where the joy is. That's where the knowing of how significant mankind, humankind really is. Yes, we lost the majesty in the great fall. Death came in. That's why it's here. We've got to confront the issue. The wages of sin is death. I mean, it's here as an abnormality. God calls it an enemy. Take a read, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we're going to talk about in the body of this message tonight the concept of homosexual agenda, the idea of propensity, and the desire to alter the children, not just of the United States, but of the world. Because it's in the propensity of activists, gays, and lesbians. Now hang on, because I'm going to explain that in a few moments, okay? Let me touch on just a couple of commercials here. We're doing a big conference in Mansfield, Ohio. That conference is called Demolishing Strongholds. It deals with learning prayer mapping and spiritual warfare basics and spiritual warfare advanced, ministry. It deals with just the concept of what the ramping up of the dark side and ritual release of demonic powers and what the church has been, is, and will be facing. Are we ready? Or is the church powerless when most churches gather on Sunday? No matter what is being said, when only 38 seconds, 58 seconds, maybe 1 minute and a half given to prayer, it tells me the church has been suppressed, that we don't know where the power is, and that we haven't learned to become great intercessors and great prayer warriors. In the book of Acts, building shook, the dead were raised, people were healed, demons were exposed and crushed, entire cities were saturated, struck by the power and grace and might of God. And the ending result, well, take a read, Acts chapter 8. The whole city, after the visitation of God, the salvation and healing and deliverance in Christ, the whole city was full of joy. Joy. Do you have joy? A spiritual presence within your life that emanates because of the knowledge of knowing God, being totally forgiven, and knowing where you're going. God's presence involves love, joy, and peace. And the world, and even counterfeit alternative spiritual streams, can't give you the same. So we're going to delve into all of this in Mansfield, October 23rd, 24th, 25th. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you're going to see up in the right-hand corner a little thing that says conference coming, demolishing strongholds. Take a read of that. You can see how to be a part of it. And we're already hearing people are coming from three or four other states, and everybody's getting ready down there, and everybody's praying about it. And we probably will have, like we did the last conference, people who come to infiltrate and check it out and scope it out, which is fine. Because there is a divine and providential, you know, God has the ability, because of omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence, to run circles around whatever dark strategies are going on out there. So whatever's going on in your life, as a believer in Christ, you got to remember Romans chapter 8, that in all things God is working. That's a supernatural operative work. He's working for the good. Today, as I speak, God that I know, dwelling in my life, well, working in my behalf. Taking scripture this morning and having my prayer time, listen, it's a great thing. So we put up, for this month, 31 days ablaze, 10, 15, 20-minute little devotionals. It's all about a little mini sermon, a little shot in the arm, but it's also about, and this is what I felt the Spirit of God leading me to do, about change in the believer's life. Believers are to grow and become strong and become mighty in the Lord and to accomplish great things for Christ. And so that's part of what that 31 Days Ablaze will help draw you into. And we hope you'll take a listen. Listen, if you're brand new coming in, we are on a specific series this week. Next week we'll be dealing with, well, we got it up on the website, and we'll have it up there every week. We're dealing with preparation for Armageddon. Is it too early to prepare? What about it? And we're going to deal with the weaponization of satanic powers. So for the military folks, we're going to touch in this area because you are the prime targets of the full force of satanic evolution driving its way to Revelation 19:19. Politicians and military individuals are the top of the list. They're on the, I mean, if Satan had a list, and he said, who are we going to influence? Who do we need to get to most? Where do we need to unleash our agenda? The top is politicians and military leaders. The third would be in the area of religion. Let's alter religion. People are spiritual, so let's give them something spiritual, an alternative that will help drive them away from God. If Satan had a list, the Word of God reveals that those are the three top things that he's working at. So if you're a politician, if you're a military man, a soldier, please know Christ. Know the power of God. Have your friends be praying for you. The body of Christ is called and commanded by the Spirit of God in Timothy chapter 2 that first of all, and with urgency, prayers and intercession should be pouring out over all those in authority, kings. Who does that refer to? Politicians and military leaders. And the Bible says that if we do that, that this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, pas anthropos, all humanity, all peoples, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Vital, important, how you doing? Let's get into the body of the discussion tonight. Now, for those who listen to archives later on during the week, that is great. I'm glad because we're noticing even on our site that thousands of you have downloaded and are, you know, listening and maybe recording. And we're glad for that. And we appreciate just simple comments back that says you're listening and where you're from. Maybe here in the future we'll have call-in time. And but I know that many, this is just how it works all over. In Australia and Canada and United States and in England and other places around the world, right now you are listening. Right now where I sit, I feel the Spirit of God. I am in the presence of God. That is who compels me. And even if you are there to monitor the show, you don't know where you're at spiritually, you're searching, then I'm going to tell you what I believe. That God has brought you here for a purpose. And I pray that you will be open to what God is speaking about Christ and your life. Let's take a look. Part number four, propensity. Now, I really don't use that word constantly, but it's a powerful little word that describes, and here's simply a definition, Webster's, you know, a definition of it. An often intense natural inclination or preference. I want you to hear again, okay? An often intense natural inclination or preference. And so when I say this, I want you to know that there is, in my view, a propensity inside gay and lesbian activists, well, gay and lesbian lifestyle. There is a deep-seated propensity that has to fight against the original creation of God and moral code that we were constructed with. That has to fight against every single concept of that around them. To the gays and lesbians, let me say this, that the reason the world does not fall into line in an overwhelming majority, historically, currently, overwhelmingly doesn't agree, doesn't give in to, because there is still the concept, even in the fallen humanity, there is still inside humankind a conscience, a moral code, something we were made with. And it fits what God says, what God is. It's the idea, again, of a train, a $1 billion train, state-of-the-art, beautiful, sleek, fast-moving, put on the tracks to move across the country and to perform a lot of things and take people and, well, do a lot of great things. But if the train jumps the tracks and says, I don't want to be on these tracks. I want to be down there in the gravel. I want to drive around in the gravel. I want to go down Main Street. I want to go back on the dirt roads of the farms. That train's going to have a hard time. And if that train starts to drive down the street and go over the rocks and people are saying and hearing all the squealing of the wheels and the train is screaming out, you must accept that I can ride on this road too. I demand you to accept and to acknowledge that I have a right to be on this road too. And I have a right to go down the country road. And I have a right to go down the farmer's lane. And I have a right to go over the rocks. And I have a right to go through the field. I have a right to go anywhere. And everywhere the train goes, the clashing of wheels, the spinning of wheels, the function is bad, and so many times it just gets stuck. So I would say when it comes to gay and lesbian activists, when there is a drivenness inside, because the actions don't fit the biology, the actions of homosexuality don't fit the spirituality God originally created us with. The actions don't fit our genetic makeup at all, because there's no such thing, clearly, as a genetic or a gay gene. Because there is a drivenness to try to make it sound like there is. There's a drivenness psychologically, mentally, socially, economically, politically, religiously, everywhere. It's almost as though that propensity to say that I can use sexuality, whatever, you know, however I want to. And I demand, as you know, if a man, if it's a homosexual man saying, I demand being married to a man and having sex with another man, and I demand you to agree with me and affirm me. I'm going to tell you right now, and here's the dangerous thing I want to bring up, and I know for some people it's going to be very controversial. The propensity to demand acceptance will not stop with a gay or lesbian's with their own family, with their own extended family, with their community, with the churches, with the politicians, with the psychologists, with the doctors and scientists. The propensity deep in, let's be honest, okay, inside the gay and lesbian activist. And here's what you got to become aware of with yourselves. Because in gay and lesbian activism, there is the propensity to say everything else must change and fit my lifestyle. God must come off the throne and change and say gay, lesbian, homosexuality is good and right. We must change the Bible. We must change the pastors in the churches. We must change religions around the world. We must change history. We must change politics. We must change everybody's thinking. We must also silence those who would speak with any reason or give any convincing proofs that homosexuality is abnormal. It is not. That it's not the norm. That it is a sin. That it is a dysfunction, that it brings pain and harm. We, you know, the gay activist propensity is silence them. even in the training, to slam anyone who would say they don't agree, using terms like fascist, Nazi, hater, homophobe, all those kind of things, if someone simply says, I don't agree. If a former gay or lesbian renounces the lifestyle, gets out, becomes heterosexual, marries, has a family, and testifies in their own words about the emotional and mental, physical and psychological and sexual dysfunctions, then again, when it comes to gay activism and the agenda, it is to shred them. It is to silence them. But it goes beyond all of that. It really does. Because when you go to the drivenness inside gay and lesbian activism, we have to bring up Kevin Jennings. Now, Kevin Jennings is the man appointed by Barack Obama to be the safe school czar, even though he wrote a foreword to a book called The Queering Elementary Education. Even though there is support from Kevin Jennings to Harry Hay, that was part of NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. Even though Kevin Jennings was a part of and endorsed by and spoke out for ACT UP, the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. Here we now have a man that's going to be the safe czar for our children, education, who wants education in, listen, this is part of the entire homosexual agenda and the propensity. They want to start from childhood and change a childhood's rearing, change their development, change their thinking. And for millions of Americans, Canadians, Australians, those in the UK and Europe, and even those in Russia and other places, so many of you feel that you've been silenced and shut up and shamed and pushed into a corner that even when individuals have written me about this week, it's almost as though they are apologizing for even wanting to be able to say something, when we have a right to speak, an obligation to speak, an urgency to speak. Will Americans allow in political lobbying a minority group change the face of all education in America? So that your 5th and 6th grader, and a 7th and an 8th, is going to be constantly barraged with being forced to learn about gay and lesbian lifestyle, which will bring up the fact that the central issue of homosexuality is sexocentric, that it's a sexual issue. And so we're going to have 6th graders and 5th graders and 7th graders and 8th graders, and all of those are going to be have to listen, you got to understand that the gay or the homosexual agenda wants to teach them and demand of them. What if all the kids say, I don't agree? What if you got a class where the majority of the 6th graders are saying to the teacher, who might be lesbian or might be homosexual, or they might bring somebody in, or they might say, I don't agree with the book? Are they going to get a bad grade because they don't agree with the book? Are they going to be forced to hear things like, well, it's probably a genetic thing, we are born with it. Oh, well, God does really approve of it. And are we going to hear all of the alterations? And what happens when the majority of 5th and 6th graders don't agree and don't become gay or lesbian? See, I think that by teaching this and putting that there and putting the sexual ideas and taking over the parents' rights, God-given rights, responsibilities, what's next? When I dealt with the Gay Lesbian Task Force of the University of Akron, I told you on the Monday night show that as I just simply stood and reasoned out with them and declared, listen, if a gay or if a lesbian, if homosexuals want to declare, hey, this is our choice, this is our lifestyle, this is how we're going to live. Listen, there's people that are doing, you know, committing adultery, fornication, you know, bestiality. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's one thing for it to be going on. You choose, and the bottom line is we all reap what we sow. No matter what it is, we reap what we sow. It's the truth. All of our actions have consequences. But what if Nambla, which is riding on the coattails of the homosexual agenda, you know, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, what if they, as they are in the politics, as in other nations around the world, they've done this. What if they begin to lobby and demand that even in schools that their principles be taught? After all, they might say the same things. We have a genetic predisposition. God says this is okay. This is all about love. We love little boys. What if they begin to do the exact same thing? Actually, they are, if you know anything about Nambla. What if transgenders want to come in and demand that 5th and 6th and 7th graders have to listen to them about their sexual preference or sexual exploitation or exploits or whatever it may be? How far are you going to let it go? How far will the rest of the vast majority of Americans and those of other nations allow this to continue? I'm telling you that you have a right to speak, a right to share, a right to say. And just like in California, when they voted by the majority to preserve marriage being a man and a woman, and to lock out gay and lesbian marriages being legalized. Well, when the majority voted, guess what happens? Propensity kicks in, and now those who are gay lobbyists and gays in San Francisco and other places are demanding that the courts overrule the majority of people. For most Americans and others in other nations, we haven't realized that those who are gay and lesbian, they've realized that lobbying and forcing the issue in behind the scenes in political realms is where the power is. So that's where they're going to work. That's where they're going to operate. That's why it's out there right now. For Barack Obama to appoint a man that, well, is said to be gay, is said to have a partner, Jeff Davis. And I'm reading off of a WorldNet Daily article by, well, it's posted October 15th, 2009, Safe Schools chief was member of Radical ACT UP group. So this is the current acting quote czar. Let me say something to Barack Obama. When you first got in office in that first month and signed the bill to be the largest aider and abettor, if I can say those words, of abortion and the slaughter of little babies in the womb, you've took a step against the throne of God. Can God be pleased with any leader of the world that's going to sign paperwork, that's going to take tax dollars from the rest and ship it out so that worldwide, let alone in this nation, monies will be given to perform the slaughter? If the baby was on the outside of the womb, and the same things were done when the baby's right on the outside of the womb that's done when the baby's on the inside of the womb, you're talking Holocaust. You're talking slaughter. You're talking a grisly murder scene. And now when we see that Barack Obama and his cabinet are primarily one-worlders and the ones committed to Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and globalism, then we know what spirit is guiding all of that. And to put a man that's going to be the, quote, safe schools, are you kidding me? Are you actually kidding me? Safe schools, the queering of education, the propensity and the agenda to teach 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th graders that they must learn about homosexuality, accept homosexuality. But I haven't even stopped. I haven't even stopped at what the ultimate act of this propensity is all about. And I'm afraid that I would get spit on and hit and rocks thrown if I was speaking to a group of gay activists and leaders. Maybe some of them, on their own, will actually listen to this and come to their senses. Maybe without all the others around you, you will begin to listen, and all of a sudden, a real reason will begin to grip your heart and mind. You can't, no matter how hard you try, change biology and the physiology of mankind. You can't change the imago Dei. You cannot change and force this concept. You can't change God, the Word of God, or the body of Christ. You can't change the majority of the world. It never has happened, and I am telling you that it will not occur. You can't change psychology, even though there's been great strides in psychology and science and education and politics to infuse the gay agenda, the homosexual agenda, and its philosophy. Its philosophy is what? Anybody that doesn't agree is a hater. Anybody that disagrees needs to be shut up. And we must be allowed to teach everybody and change and alter everything, forcing the rest of the world, God and man, to declare that we're okay, that we're good, that we're special, that we're right. And let me say to the gay and the lesbian activists, by the providence of God, if you're listening, even if that was to occur, it will not satisfy the gnawing internal conflict. Propensity to justify homosexuality. Propensity to justify sexual addiction. Here's what it is, mark it down, will ultimately lead to forcing others to experience homosexuality. The homosexual men at the University of Akron, at the Gay Lesbian Task Force, when I stood to share against their proclamations that Jesus was homosexual, that Jonathan and David in the Bible approves it, when I simply shared, being yelled at, cussed at, and condoms thrown at me, the major leader who a year later got out of the gay, lesbian, homosexual agenda called me, met with me, and told me that if I had come one more time to their meeting, it was a public meeting, by the way, that they were going to, and I'm telling you what Michael said to me, they were going to take me and rape me. See, as a Christian now, I have been out there witnessing all over the place and sharing for many years. We've gone to biker bars and metal bars and country bars and witnessing here and witnessing there. We also have taken the gospel right into gay and lesbian bars. That's right. Because we've led gays and lesbians to Christ, where the power of Jesus, the blood of Christ, brings total forgiveness and cleansing, and the power of God comes in to deliver them of the sin code and Satan's grip and of bondage and gives a new life. I've seen it again and again. God declares there is freedom. Whatever the sexual addiction or problem may be, there is freedom in Christ. Jesus Christ became the sin bearer of the world, and many Christians need to understand that he bore the sin of homosexuals also. Now, I've heard that some Christians who are scared, all they do is scream and call names. That changes no one. God didn't tell me to scream and call names. He told me to proclaim the gospel, good news for every sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So my proclamation in the midst of this teaching is to say, folks, listen. There is a propensity, a drivenness. Let me give the definition one more time. An often intense natural inclination or preference when it comes to gays and lesbians, in the depths of emotion, the depths of the thinking, the depths of the will, there is a, from the sin code, from the power of the sin code. Want to study the sin code? The code that operates almost as a living force in fallen humanity. Read about it. I mean, if you're going to study, if you're going to research, read about it in Romans chapter 8. Whoever's listening right this very moment, you either have the sin code as the dominant force within you, or you have the new nature of God in Christ inside. One of those is called the law of sin and death. The other is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when Christ comes into your life, the law, the code, the force of sin within, that's hostile to God in all of God's ways, that seeks to lead a human being in propensity to move away from God and reject God, that's what is broken when Christ comes in. That originally came from the fallen cherub himself. You've got to understand where it came from. The sin code is an abnormal, animating presence within you and I as a human being that is, you know, because we've sinned. Because we said, chuck God, we accept the spiritual lie, and there's a spiritual death that came in. God didn't stop, though. He brought redemption, obviously. That's what Christ and the cross is all about. That's what the end of the world clash is all about. It's bigger. Listen, to the gays and to the lesbians, it's bigger than just your agenda. Prophecy of God overrides the strength and goals of your agenda. The great collapse will come. The great, well, I don't want to call it great, the a horrific masquerade of a new world order and of a new super leader is right at the door of human history. Biblical prophecy, which has never failed, will show you that in the last 7 years, we're talking about billions losing their life in the chaos, war, bloodshed. Soldiers and politicians, New Agers and others that align themselves with the spirits of the New Age that are guiding you to link up with the coming Antichrist. If you ever take that mark, which involves the acquisition of demons, you've sealed your fate. You're lost forever. You've been seduced. You will be betrayed. For those listening right now, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. God so loved the world includes all of us. No matter who you are, where you are, God loves you. The death Christ died on the cross was for you personally. Absolutely personally. And I want you to know that right now, and I call you, I urge you to right now believe on the living Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior. And I pray that God will crush everything demonic, the Spirit of God will open your heart and your mind, and that you will open your life and receive the living Christ. He's knocking at the door of your heart, my friend. I would say to all the Christians out there, we need to do a spiritual evaluation. Are we powerful? Can we get answers to prayer? Can we influence our families, our cities, our nation? When you study the book of Acts, you're going to see people, believers in Christ, that understood how to get powerful, building shaking, raise the dead type of power that would strike, that would demonstrate the kingdom, the basileia, the rule and reign of God. Christians should not sit in observation of conspiracy, survivalism, and the end of days, waiting to be snatched up. Christians should be like an army sent from heaven itself, telling the world of the incredible, infallible, unalterable, indefeatable hope that is found in Jesus Christ. God loves you. God can bring change. God can give you the gift of indestructible immortality. God is real. God's alive. You can know God on a personal level. Listen, you can say you've got all the spirituality you want, but if it came from the counterfeit, finite, fallen spirits that 1 Timothy 4 talks about, then you've been deceived. They're stealing from you. And that bugs me. It bugs me when the dark side masquerades as light and steals. How do you know the difference? Nothing from the masquerading, seducing spirits, demons, nothing from that spiritual side will ever lead you into a personal relationship with God to receive the living Christ, to acknowledge Him as God in human flesh, Savior dying on the cross. They will not lead you there. It's not in their nature, and it's against their will. They are here to fight humanity. They are here to set up an agenda that brings the Antichrist, which is literally Satan in human flesh. And with that, my friends, comes the greatest destruction the world has ever or will ever know. Matter of fact, Jesus said if you didn't cut those days short, you know what it says. There'd be no flesh left. Because deception, as my friend Bob Rosio, author of the book, Hitler and the New Age, says, deception always leads to destruction. God can put a drive within our hearts by God the Holy Spirit. You're either living under the sin code, the power of the sin code, and the legal rights of Satan himself. You may be living in the dysfunction of your sin and feel like, yes, you know what, I've been convinced, I've been lied to, I don't know how to get out of it. I would say do all you can to get out of it and come to Christ. Right where you are, right now as you listen, cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Forgive me, wash me, deliver me. I renounce sin, I renounce the demonic, I renounce what is wrong. Come and be my Savior and Lord, I surrender to you. Accept the Spirit of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Begin right there. If you can, write to me at shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. You can go to the Shatter the Darkness website and you can literally read or find what we call, teachings. MP3, 1 hour teachings. Dynamic Discipleship, A Blaze for God, so many others. We pray that they will help you. To my brothers and sisters in Christ out there on this Friday night, October the 16th in the evening. It's not another day in paradise, but paradise is coming. Though we have tasted of this great and incredible salvation. Though we have tasted of paradise, you can read about it. 1 Peter chapter 1. And all a glorious, almost indescribable joy in Christ. We're told that we're shielded by God's power through faith in Christ. Oh, can I encourage you today? Study deeply, read deeply 1 Peter chapter 1. Absolutely incredible. Our prayers go out for all kinds of great believers everywhere. For Steve Quayle, for Tom Horn, for Hawk, for many others across the board. Derek and Sharon there at PID Radio, and Dr. Mike down there, Dr. Future, at Future Quake Radio. Over there for Chris White and Frank and others. Listen, many of you are out there spreading the gospel, doing the right things. Many of you are moms at home. All those are listening at a computer. Maybe even at the police station. Maybe even at a military base. This exact moment, God is real, alive, loves you, wants you. You can come to a personal, living relationship. I urge you then to study and learn deeply the Word of God. It's living. It's active. God might be waiting for you. It's time to surrender and come to Him. What do you have in your life that is greater than God's grace, love, power, presence, purpose, and the gift of indestructible immortality? Hey, you guys, don't forget, Sunday night, 2 hours live. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. You'll see how to get there on our Sunday night show. See you next week also. Hope that you can come to the conference in Mansfield, Ohio, October 23rd, 24th, 25th. And we hope to see more and more conferences down the road. Listen, if you need to email me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. If you do go to the Shatter site and you want that Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, that entire course, I think it's about 24, 22 hours. A lot of other resources there. I want you to know about it. Hey, blessings to you. We love you in Christ. God bless you.